some introduction, and has served in public speaking and homiletics at Ambassador College, and church pastor, regional pastor, and assistant director of church administration, and regional director of churches in Australia and in Southeast Asia. Currently pastors the Church of God in Garden Grove, what I affectionately call the Progressive Church. It's been a very progressive church over the years and still is a very progressive church. Welcome, Mr. Luker, for the final message.
I'll just add formally of the Worldwide Church of God, John. United Church of God now, 32 years in the ministry. Thank you, John. First, I want to thank John Merritt. I'm thankful to have him in the Garden Grove congregation. He's a unique man, a special man, and a wonderful man. I've learned a great deal from John. He's very ecumenical. He's the one that came up with this idea. He's the one that planned it with help, and I appreciate John very, very much. I want you to know that. Now, we've heard a lot about the Sabbath. How would you like to be the last speaker? And no scriptures left. So much has been said. But it's been a joy. Mine will be fairly short because it's time for lunch. I have other meetings this afternoon as well. But I did want to bring out some practical things. I might mention, first of all, what a pleasure it has been to be together with old friends that I haven't seen in many years from the various churches and groups when we were at one time all one body. We are still one body, don't forget that. One body, the Church of God. There are different parts of that body, and we will be all doing the work of God. But what I'm looking forward to is a closer working relationship with other Sabbath-keeping groups. That is my heart's desire. And I will be working hard as a board member of the United Church of God, be doing my best to help bring about a closer working relationship, closer friendship, closer cooperation with the other Sabbath-keeping churches of God, all of them. I even hope that I will be able to work much closer with Sunday-keeping churches in the community. I don't want to shock anybody, but I know what I believe, and I believe it very deeply, and I also believe that you do not have to compromise your beliefs in order to work with others of different beliefs. They will respect you if you're sincere, and if they know you base your beliefs on the Word of God. So I want to be ecumenical in that way as well. Do you know what today is? I don't think it's been mentioned yet. What, this Memorial Day, yes. Today's Memorial Day. And I think there's something significant that I can tie in here regarding the Sabbath. My wife and I only live about 30 minutes north of here in Irvine, California. So we drove back home last night and saw a little bit of a TV special on Memorial Day. And there were some very moving facts. I was upstairs doing a little work and some preparation. And I came downstairs a little later in the evening, and my wife was standing there in the kitchen in tears. And I said, "Well, honey, what's the matter? What's wrong?" And she had been watching this memorial, this special telecast, a lot of patriotic music, and they had put together movies of World War II and all of the men and the women who have given their lives for our freedom. So I think it's important that we think a little bit about this day, Memorial Day, and the fact that you and I are sitting here today with the freedom that we have to talk about the Sabbath day and to worship God because of the people who've given their lives to fight for freedom and to give us our freedoms. They gave some facts I want to pass on to you that brought my wife to tears. Now, the number of lives that were taken just during World War II, just as a reminder for you, that this Sabbath day pictures freedom. The Sabbath day also pictures a 1,000-year rule of Jesus Christ when there will be peace on earth. when men will beat their swords into plowshares and they will learn war no more. They brought out that 300,000 American soldiers died in World War II. They showed some scenes with the Battle of Okinawa, where more Marines lost their lives than in all the rest of the war in that one battle. The Japanese were entrenched in 1,500 caves, and they had to go in one cave at a time with flamethrowers to obtain the island for an invasion of Tokyo, which of course didn't happen. But 300,000 Americans died in World War II, 700,000 were wounded, so 1 million killed and wounded, 500,000 British died, 600,000 French died, 500,000 Italians died, 5 million Germans died, 2 million Japanese died, 1 million Yugoslavs, 5 million Poles, 13 million Chinese, 27 million Russians, 6 million Jews, and 5 million Gypsies and other civilians. And they were going on, the death, the slaughter. And they had individual stories of men and women who had died during that war. A total died in World War II of 55 million people. And so no wonder my wife was standing there in tears as she was seeing these film footages of the war, of the death, of the slaughter, of the killing. And she was thinking about this seminar and what we're talking about the freedom that it brings, the knowledge of this day, the past, the present, and the future meaning of this precious holy day. Well, not today, Memorial Day, but of God's Sabbath day. So it's very motivating and inspiring. It should give us the inspiration, and I've received a great deal of inspiration here. I have a lot of new ideas, a lot of new thoughts about the Sabbath day. And I'd like to bring out to you that I am primarily a church pastor. It's what I've always considered myself. I have a pastor's heart. I believe that my strengths have always been more in the area of pastoring. And so most of my years of experience are in pastoring churches and in working in pastoral administration, many times in an administrative capacity. My wife is a part of my ministry. She's a part of my life. She is a part of everything that I say and do. So what I say and do is because of my wife as well. We are a team. And because I'm a pastor, I'm concerned about the practical application of Sabbath keeping as it applies to God's people. And so my talk will be relatively short, but I hope it will give you some new thoughts about how to go back and take all the wonderful knowledge that we've been given and put it into practical application in your life. To actually go back to your church congregations, to your people, to your families, and make some changes in your life. I have been inspired to rethink certain things about the Sabbath day, God's purpose, God's meaning. Dr. Bakayoki, many others of you here, God has been able to use you. Dr. Bakayoki is such an unusual personality, isn't he? And we've spent a bit of time with him because Dr. Merritt invited him to come to speak in Garden Grove this Sabbath. And so we had a little extra time with him, and we had more of him and his personality, his enthusiasm, and his dedication. And I've got a new friend in Dr. Bakayoki because of his warmth and his love. I can see a godly man there with a deep love, and we owe him a great deal because of the research that he has done on the Sabbath day. Tremendous research, tremendous knowledge and understanding there that he's sharing with all of us. And I've learned a great deal from him. So I want to rethink my understanding of the Sabbath day. I've always believed it since God called me. I still believe the Sabbath day. But I coming to understand there's always a deeper meaning, a deeper understanding of how to keep the Sabbath holy and how to make it a delight. And that's what I want to focus on now, a few of the practical ways of keeping God's Sabbath holy and making it a delight. and how we can do it in our own lives personally, how we can help the brethren to understand how to do this so that we look forward to the Sabbath more, so that it is truly a joy and a delight in our lives. I remember many years ago, I've been in the church now over 36 years, in the ministry 32, that there were times when I was very strict. I was very legalistic. That was my understanding. But I have changed and I have grown. Now, first of all, Mark 2:27, and to save time, I'll just mention a few scriptures that you know well. They've been brought out. Mark 2:27, Jesus said, "The Sabbath was made for man. The Sabbath was created for man." Makes very clear, doesn't it? Christ was referring to creation. The Sabbath was made for man. And not man, not mankind, for the Sabbath. So God created the Sabbath for us. He created it for all mankind, not just for the Jews, as we've heard. And that scripture makes that very clear. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 3, just a few scriptures leading up to some of the practical applications of keeping God's Sabbath holy. 1 John chapter 5, verse 3, which you may know well, says, "This is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome." That's from the New King James Version. So God's Word tells us that none of God's commandments are burdensome. They're a blessing. Every commandment of God was given and created to be a blessing to our lives. So how can we make the Sabbath more of a blessing in our lives? That's my question to you. How can you go back from this seminar on the Sabbath, take the knowledge you've been given, knowing, I hope, having reproved and reconfirmed that this is a holy day of God, given to mankind by God to be a great blessing in our lives? How can we make it more of a blessing? All of us, for our families, for our children, for our friends and neighbors and relatives and others. Larry Salyer mentioned an important scripture. I'd like you to read this one with me, Isaiah 58. Isaiah chapter 58. Let's read this once again. Isaiah chapter 58, verses 13 and 14. For God says that if you will turn away your foot from the Sabbath, the NIV renders that, if you will keep your foot or feet from breaking the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my Sabbath day, or from doing as you please. So we know the Sabbath was given by God as a day to not just do our own thing that we can do 6 days a week. Call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor Him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure. And I used to go overboard with that. I used to think that anything that was enjoyable was my own pleasure, even sex. And that was forbidden. It isn't. Nowhere in the Bible will you find a scripture that says it would be wrong, if you're married. Throw that little qualification in there. To have sex on the Sabbath. I love marriage. I thank God that I have a happy marriage. I love to talk about marriage and conduct marriage seminars, because marriage is intended to be one of God's greatest blessings. Now, it isn't for everybody, because marriage takes a lot of work and effort, a lot of learning, growing, changing. I especially had to learn. I have an engineering background. That is, before God called me, I was an engineer. And so I was very left brain in my thinking. Everything had to be logical. Everything had to be practical. I've mentioned this before. And so I didn't realize how left-brained I was in my thinking until I met and married a right-brained woman, Leanne. She's extremely right-brained, very creative and artistic. And for her, what really matters is that things are pretty. And so we got married. This left-brained male married to this right-brained female. who lives over here in that hemisphere, and you've heard this talked about, Gary Smalley and many others, good books about that today, but I experienced it. This left brain engineer married to this right brain woman, and all of a sudden, wow, I realized there's a lot to learn about understanding a woman. And so now in our life and in our marriage, we have reached this agreement. Things are now together pretty practical. And you will notice, I say this, others of you have heard me say this before, the pretty comes first. So I've rethought a lot of things. I used to worry about that. I'll have to be honest, some days the Sabbath is the only day I have any energy at all to have sex. I don't mean to be embarrassing to anybody. I am so tired. We have been through so much in recent months in the church. I am so exhausted, and I'll share that with you honestly, emotionally, physically, mentally, and spiritually, I am so tired that all I want to do is run away and have a whole year of a Sabbath to do nothing but sleep and then wake up and take walks and talk and eat and sleep. That's how I feel right now. I'm tired, and many of you I know understand what I'm talking about. I'm worn out, and I need to experience the rest of the Sabbath. I need to be renewed, and I know you do too, most of you do. I want to learn now. It's like starting all over almost. I'm trying to figure out, and I'm speaking as a pastor. For me as a pastor, the Sabbath is a work day. You know that. Many of you do the same type work. Christ said that's the way it would be for the priests in the temple. They profane the Sabbath, but he said they were guiltless. That is our calling. That is our job. And so I've got to relook at the Sabbath for me as a pastor. What I've been doing, and I can see maybe I haven't been doing it right. You see, I take hours to prepare my messages. Many of you do too. But I get up early in the morning. That's my best time. And so I would get up in the morning on the Sabbath, real early on the Sabbath. I'm fresh and I'm bright because I'm busy during the week with so many other things like everybody. And so I would do my sermon preparation on the Sabbath. I'd get up real early on the Sabbath and study and prep. And my wife says, I run to my cave and I disappear. And she doesn't see me all day long on the Sabbath day because I like to prepare and prepare thoroughly and well. And have it to be fresh in my mind and my heart when I go to church. And then when you go to church, there are hundreds of people there you interact with. And the Sabbath is a day, it can be a day of joy, obviously, but it's a day of a lot of pressure on you. And I've got to rethink that in my own heart, in my own mind. I'm sharing that with you now. Maybe some of you need to rethink some things. Maybe I need to be doing more of my sermon preparation, hard work, on Friday, the preparation day for the Sabbath. So I have more of the time on the actual holy day itself to relax a little bit before going to services, to be with my wife more, to walk, to talk. Because right now it's a hard work day for me. I'm just sharing honestly and openly with you as I read these scriptures. God says, call the Sabbath a delight. Delight yourself in the Lord. Don't do your own thing, but find delight in the Sabbath. And so I thank God for this seminar to start rethinking a lot of things in my life regarding the Sabbath day and its meaning and its purpose and how I can better keep the Sabbath day holy. Now, if you're a pastor who has two or three congregations on the Sabbath, and sometimes it is that way, then it's an exhausting day. And if you have that, then as a minister or a pastor, you must take another day for rest, or else you're going to collapse. You're going to collapse. And I hope all of you as members do understand that in your pastor, unless he takes some other time off, or unless he's working out the Sabbath day, so that he is keeping that Sabbath day as partly a day of rest, gets no rest. And I know pastors who work 7 days a week and are paying the penalty for it. Because God created all of us to need a rest. And so even we as ministers and pastors must rest. And so the first guideline I have, I don't have a list of a lot of do's and don'ts, but I want you to rethink your position. Don't be a legalist. We don't want to go to either extreme, do we? We know God's Sabbath day. I believe with all my heart that it is God's Sabbath day. And we should learn to keep it holy. Let's strive for balance. The first commandment says, the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work. We need to rest from our normal daily work, don't we? Now, ministers have to do some work on the Sabbath. Dr. Merritt is a doctor. Dr. Escobar is, they're physicians, they're doctors. And their profession sometimes calls upon them because people are suffering or sick or maybe even dying. They must go to their aid. That's okay. That's necessary. Christ made that clear. But I ask all of you, do you rest from your normal daily work? We've heard that, Dr. Bakayoki, others have stated that. Rethink your position. Do you do it the way God instructs us in the right way? God rested on the seventh day from all his works, Paul wrote in Hebrews 4:4, and then he said, there remains therefore a rest for the people of God, a sabbatismos, a Sabbath rest. And that rest means not only physical, although I feel now an internal need for more physical rest to let my mind and body, and I know a lot of it is the mental. I've never been through anything so traumatic in all my life. I know I'm receiving a lot of criticism right now. I've been called a Judas, a traitor, a deceiver of God's people. Many things, I'm aware of that. But it's been the most difficult thing I have ever gone through in my entire life. I never ever dreamed, because I preached so many sermons in all my 32 years in the ministry, that you never leave the church. I had to rethink that as well and come to realize that the church left me and what I believe with all my heart, and that I began to be told that I had to come to believe and accept these new doctrines eventually and believe them and teach them. And when some of my minister friends were being fired or retired or asked to resign because of what they believed, I could not continue. And many of you have done the same thing and been through the same thing. I still love the Worldwide Church of God. I still love the brethren who are there. I have no bitterness. No hard feelings. I'm just sad. I went through great depression over it. I've always been a very positive, optimistic person. But my wife can tell you that for the first time in my life, I went through a period of depression, not just discouragement. Everybody goes through discouragement. I went into depression, and even she could not help me. Even my own wife could not reach me. And it happened just before the Feast of Tabernacles this past year, and thankfully getting away to keep the feast helped turn it around in my life, getting my mind on the meaning of the feast and God's plan. So let's, first of all, learn how again, and I've got to learn as a minister and a pastor, how to make sure that I am resting and obeying God's law. That I'm getting the rest that I need mentally, physically, and emotionally. Because what good will I do to God's people if I have a breakdown, physically, mentally, or emotionally, or if you do? And that rest includes more than just the physical. Of course, we've heard that. It means taking the time for the renewal, prayer, Bible study, meditation. So I guess the first thing that I'm asking you to do in rethinking the Sabbath is to truly reevaluate, are you using the Sabbath day adequately, properly, for the rest that you need physically, mentally, and spiritually? I think that I have been violating God's Sabbath day as a minister. I think I've been paying the penalty because I'm a workaholic. And I haven't been taking time for my body and my mind and my spirit. Another guideline. And worshiping, keeping the Sabbath holy. Meeting together and encouraging one another.
To me, one of the important scriptures of the Bible is Hebrews 10:25. I know it's not a direct command, but it does say that we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but goes on to say encouraging one another and stirring one another up to good works. Again, Larry Salyer brought this out. That's such a need I find today. Probably the greatest need that I see in people is for encouragement. I found that during the weeks and months leading up to the separation that we went through from the Worldwide Church of God, that I've never received so many phone calls from ministers and members in my life. Maybe some of you were going through that. But usually starting at 7 a.m. in the morning until I would go to bed late at night, the phone would ring all day long. And primarily it was a need for people to talk and to communicate and to know that they were not crazy about what was happening and going on. That they were not crazy and out of their minds because they still believed in the Sabbath and the holy days and the law of God. That need for encouragement. And the Sabbath is a vital time when we meet together and we can encourage one another. So I want to encourage you to think of that as a vital key of keeping the Sabbath holy, is going to services, not only to receive a message, but also going there to encourage others. It's a deep need in all of our lives. We're going to need that, I think, from now on. Meeting together, worshiping God together, and encouraging one another. And to be able to encourage others, you've got to have your own batteries renewed and recharged. Just a couple of more guidelines. And I hope I might say something that will just cause you to think about what you do. We've heard this brought out by Dr. Bakayoki and others. Doing good to others on the Sabbath. Not just going to services to encourage the brethren, but also looking upon the Sabbath as a time to reach out to others who are sick, who are lonely, people in the community, doing good to others on the Sabbath day, taking time for a neighbor who's not a member of the church, thinking of what you can do through phone calls, through writing letters, visiting people who are not going to be able to make it to services, but doing what Jesus said to do in Mark 12, verses 10 through 12, when he was accused. He was healing and he was accused of breaking the Sabbath. He said, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath day. Of thinking of how we can do good for others. How we can use that day to reach out to others and let our light shine. Of striving to do that in better ways all the time. The last point that I want to bring up is a guideline for rethinking the Sabbath day. Do's and don'ts. I used to have a lot of those. And I'm not a strict legalist at all. I guess we're called different things at different times depending on where the church is and what the church is emphasizing. I've been called a legalist. I've been called liberal. I think many of you have as well, probably, haven't you, at different times in the church. But I hope we're all just striving to grow and be balanced in our approach in all of this. The last guideline in keeping the Sabbath holy and making it a delight is learning to create personal and family traditions that make the Sabbath special. Maybe you already have some of those, especially if you have children. But creating personal and family traditions that truly do make the Sabbath special. What do you do right now? What traditions are you building in your family, with your children, in your marriage? What special things do you do every Sabbath that make it special? Just in your own life, think about it. What do you do Friday evening when the Sabbath begins? Or does it begin just like any other day? I'm asking you to think about that. It is the beginning of the Sabbath day. If you believe that, think what you can do to begin the Sabbath honoring that day, honoring God, recognizing that time is holy. Build a tradition. Do something special. Begin it with a special dinner. Some do with candles. My wife is very good at this. I think she brought it out to the ladies, and I wish we men had been able to hear what the ladies presented, because they brought out some very creative things. Not all the ladies were there to hear that either, but ladies, you bring something very special to the Sabbath. You bring your creativitousness. That's not a word, I don't think, is it? Your creativity. I just brought up a new one. Your creativity. You bring your creativity to the Sabbath day. You know, your right-brain thinking, your feeling. Leanne has certainly done that for my life, because I would go into my cave, and there I would be all day in my books, praying, studying, meditating, preparing, always more to study and more to do. And my dear wife sometimes will surprise me with a phone call. Here, you know, I always answer the phone. And so in my office, I have two lines, business line and a personal line. And every now and then, she'll shock me. I'm in my cave, doing my thing as a minister, and the phone will ring, and I grab it, expecting who knows who, and it's my dear wife saying, "Honey, are you ready to come out of your cave?" So she creates special foods. She puts on special Sabbath music. I won't mention some of the other special things she does on the Sabbath. They make the Sabbath a delight and a joy and a pleasure. They truly do. So let's learn to call the Sabbath a delight. I'm going to go back after this seminar, think, pray, meditate, ask God to help me in my ministry as I teach God's people, to bring out more of what I've heard at this seminar, all the aspects of the Sabbath. There's so much to it. Give it more thought. Give it more prayer. And how I keep it in my own life. Because until I am keeping it God's way, how can I share with God's people? We speak from our heart. We share our experiences, don't we? We have to be living it and doing it ourselves. And then we will be able to share it with others. I request your prayers for the United Church of God, for all the other groups of Sabbath keepers. Again, I rejoice in being together here with many of you, the different groups. Are we in the United Church of God trying to do our own thing? Is there somebody on a power trip and so we did an ego thing? No, I can only tell you that is not the case. It's not what any of us wanted. But we want your prayers that we can do whatever God's will is for us, that we can be a part of the Sabbath-keeping community, the Sabbath-keeping churches, a part of the work of God. Our heart's desire is to draw closer to all of you, whatever group you may be, to develop closer bonds of friendship once again. Who knows what miracles God has in store for us, all who love the Sabbath and its meaning and its purpose. Who knows what God can do in the future if we get rid of our egos and our own agendas. I believe that God can bring us all much closer together as we learn the meaning of the Sabbath day, as we all strive with all of our hearts and our minds and our beings to really try to keep God's Sabbath holy and to make it a delight. I think we're going to seek out other brethren, whatever church, whatever denomination, who feel that way and be striving to be friends and to be striving to work together, be striving to cooperate, be striving to serve God and Jesus Christ, be striving to do the work of God together. I haven't been that way enough in the past. It's been my church and my people. And I'm going to open my heart and my mind more and reach out to others, to you, Dr. Martin. It's wonderful to see you again. And to Larry and Global, to Ron Dart, Church of God International. I loved hearing Dr. Rose, Church of God Seventh Day, and so many others of you that I haven't met and haven't gotten to know yet. And I thank you, John Merritt, for doing this. I hope it can be an annual tradition that we have something like this. So brethren, let's take what God has given us. Let's go back. And I just want to ask you, I don't know if I've said anything at all that's been helpful to you, but give a lot of prayer and thought and meditation to God's Sabbath day of how you can keep it holy, how you can make it a delight in your life. That's what I intend to do. And thank you all for your contribution.
Thank you, Mr. Luker. Your appeal to rest and to balance life, I can only think back on the words of my pastor, Mr. Dick Shuda, back in Minnesota. Is Dick here still somewhere? There he is over here. He was my pastor back in Rochester, Minnesota, and used to pastor churches in Minnesota and Iowa and Wisconsin. I don't remember if it was a 2 or 3 church circuit that time, but one night after dinner, and we went out to dinner there, he was just exhausted, and he made the comment, he said, well, the Sabbath is our day of worship, but Sunday is the day of rest, to rest up from all the activities we've done on the Sabbath. but I hope that the things that you've heard and the things that we've all heard on both the theology of the Sabbath and the practical applications of the importance of rest and reflection, the importance of service, and Mr. Luker's appeal towards a balanced approach can, in fact, enrich our lives. And I thank you all for coming and for all the contributions.